Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Interestingly, we were speaking last night. I can't remember exactly what the topic was, by the way. But for some reason, the public and the private sector came into the conversation. And we got this message today and it said, Niall, I was deeply disheartened by the discussion on last night's show, where several callers disparaged public sector workers. As someone dedicated to public service, I feel compelled to address this misconception and highlight the challenges we face compared to our private sector counterparts. It's often argued that the public sector employees enjoy greater job security and comprehensive benefits. While it's true that the government positions are generally more stable, especially during economic downturns, i.e. job for life, and often come with structured benefits such as pensions and healthcare plans, these advantages are not without a trade-off. And I've listed them all below. Now, they go on to list off all the trade-offs. And I get it. Compensation discrepancies, workload and stress. Oh, would you stop out of that? Why, you think the public sector are under more stress than the private sector? Would you stop out of that? Limited career progression. I agree with that. There probably is. If you're in the private sector, there's more opportunities, provided you're good at your job and you work hard. And they go on and say, in contrast, private sector often offers higher potential salaries. That's, of course, because there is a cap on public sector salaries, especially in industries like technology, finance and pharmaceuticals. Well, then I suppose you could just move to the private sector, couldn't you? Employees may also benefit from performance-based bonuses and dynamic working environments, and that rewards innovation and personal initiative. Additionally, private sector roles may provide more opportunities for rapid career advancement. Now, they go on and on and on and on and on, and they say, while both sectors have their unique benefits and challenges, it's essential to recognise that the public sector employees are committed to serving the community, often under very demanding conditions and with fewer financial rewards. The negative portrayal of public servants not only undermines their dedication, but also overlooks the complexities and sacrifices inherent in the public service. I hope this perspective gives you more balance and an informed discussion on the show for future use. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And thank you very much for your email, by the way. We always appreciate that because we like to challenge people's views. So there you have it. One of our listeners works in the public sector and feels, like some, that our comments last night about the public sector workers was unfair. But do you think it was unfair? So let's have a little war, I suppose, right? The public sector versus the private sector. Who has it easier and who has it tougher? There is advantages and disadvantages to both. So let me know what you think. So I want you just to WhatsApp in, okay? Let's take a little vote on this, right? And I suppose it's, who has it easier, public sector or private sector? So just WhatsApp the word public or private to 087-188-0008. Who has it easier, public or private? And don't forget, by the way, you can join us as well by going on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits or on X at Classic Hits Radio. But you can WhatsApp us right now if you want to come on the show, 087-188-0008. If you want to come on and have your say, by the way, just WhatsApp the words, let me on, and they'll get straight back to you and they'll let you on. All right, now, let me go to Morris if I can first. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you? Good evening. Great topic.
It is. Well, we've, what, nearly 550,000 people or something like that in the public sector. Now, that includes everything. Doctors, nurses, social welfare, Garda Síochána, the whole lot of them out there. So who has it easier?
Well, I've obviously been working in the same job myself now the last 44 years. So I used to be a dinosaur, you know, job for life sort of thing.
Yeah. Plus,
my attitude was, I got the job when I was 21. I'm coming up to 64. And if you like what you do, you don't work a day in your life. And that's what happened to me. I'm really lucky. But I've noticed over the years in the work that I do that I see an awful lot of agency staff coming into companies now that have no loyalty to any workers. They're used and screwed. You imagine paying somebody for getting you a job and they take a weekly lump out of that every week.
20%
or
30%. Yeah.
For a year. And then you go on to the company's book potentially for a year, and they can say yay or nay in between that, or if that goes wrong, you don't like them, or they don't like you, you're gone. So I've noticed in companies, some companies that I would have worked with or for over the years, and their turnover of staff is 52 people a year because they can't hang on to the workers because they don't stay because the work is horrific. Mm-hmm. And they've no rights, they've no holiday pay, they don't get sick pay, they don't get pensions, nothing. If you don't work, you've nothing.
Well, there's 370,000 people work or employed by the public service. That doesn't include NGOs. That doesn't include semi-state bodies as well, who are all kind of in the same category. you know, job for life type people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I even understand that. And I know over the years where we've had discussions about people, like you said, in organizations that walk around pushing a pen all day or walking around with a piece of paper in their hand.
I mentioned before, in hospitals, right, most of the staff work very hard. The nurses and the doctors work their socks off. But you see people walking around, you know, in a suit with a folder in their hand, and you're wondering what the hell they're doing. Like, you know what I mean? They go, and I've spoken to people, and some of them say they're not doing anything. They're actually doing, they're just dodging work.
I know. And there's one of the smallest countries in Europe, I mean, one of the most expensive hospitals that's not even working yet. It's 4 years late now.
Oh, well, look, Pataubine has asked for the resignation of Simon Harris over this. So they're saying now it's going to be 2026. You can be sure it'll be 2027. And by the way, this is now, it's now officially not going to be the most expensive hospital in the world. It will be the most expensive building in the world. It's incredible. And by the way, BAM, the people who are building it, the contract, just got another contract for a hospital in Northern Ireland, I believe. Yeah. That's incredible.
So I heard, Unbelievable. Yeah. And isn't it amazing to think that there's people running this country who sign a contract saying, charge us what you like.
Yeah.
Name your price. Blank check. There you go. Take what you want. And who's paying for it? My grandchildren and your grandchildren, please God, that have a rope around their neck. And like I said to you, when you're a walker, they just keep nailing you and nailing
This is because it's public money, and the same goes for the public sector workers, right? And there was another story in the paper today where they bought an X-ray machine for the public gallery or where the National Gallery.
That, yeah.
€125,000 for a machine they bought in 2017. They haven't used it once. They haven't even got a room to put it in. So I put up on Twitter earlier on, I said the person who bought this should be fired because they clearly didn't think about it before they bought it.
You know what they're doing now? They're looking for a vehicle that they can put it on and bring it around the country as a mobile unit.
Stop.
That's what they're at now. But I tell you what, there's a guy on Twitter, just to let you know, right? And he's a good caricaturist, okay? And he said, I heard something about a machine, an X-ray machine. And who did he put into the machine in caricature?
Ew.
Simon Harris and Micheál Martin. And then the light of the machine goes, fraud. Both fake.
But I know Pater Tobin has been asking for resignations over this.
I know,
over the children's hospital. Anyway, getting back to public sector and private sector, do you think public sector workers, say who work in the Department of Social Protection or the Revenue Commissioners or wherever it happens to be, do you think that they have an easier life? Like they don't work as hard?
No, I don't think so, because I know somebody personally to me, and she's been in the social service for 30, 40 years. She's getting ready to retire like myself. And she's worked her arse off.
Mm.
And they're worked. You know, there's people over them, not whipping them, but fucking constantly on their back. Get going. I want more results. Get going. And I've recently had to deal with revenue myself because I'm coming to the age where I have to kick in with pensions and declare everything and do all this stuff, you know? Mm. And I've really come across some really nice, good, hard-working people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, friendly. And I said, this is the first time in my life that I've ever rang the revenue commissioners.
People have a fear of ringing them, isn't it?
Like, I know, I've never been on them. I didn't know what I was dealing with.
Yeah, I just do it online. Stay away from them.
Yeah, I had to ring. I had to ring over something and I got a number and a call. But it's good that you can get in and talk to people and that.
Mm.
But, you know, get a name and get information and everything is being smoothed out now. There was a few problems, but it's going okay.
Okay, so in other words, you're being dealt with well, you believe they work hard, and not just in the revenue commissions, obviously, in the Department of Social Protection.
No matter whether you're public or private, there's slackers and codgers in every walk of life.
But here's the thing. Do you not think in the private sector, the slackers are found out quicker? And like, if you're caught slacking in the public sector, you're not going to lose your job. But if you're caught slacking in the private sector, you're out the door.
Exactly, but they're very good at it now. They've learned over the years how to cover their tracks and make other people look bad. You know, there's nothing worse than working for the company, right? Here's my honest opinion. They tell you it's raining, but they're actually pissing down your back.
That's a good saying. Morris, thanks for that. Good evening to you. Let me go to Shane. Shane, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Now, you work in the public sector?
Public sector, yeah.
Okay.
I put some boats, right? And it's an age-old argument. And it's all an excuse to expression, it's all bullshit, right? And I'll tell you what it is. It comes down to one thing. I worked in the public sector during the last recession. When was that? 2012?
2000, it started the kind of end of 2009, right up to 2015, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So it comes down to, in my analogy of the whole thing, it comes down to one thing. It's like having a car, right? You can choose the Ford Fiesta. Well, I'm just saying Ford Fiesta. The average saloon car, whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll go forever. It won't break down. It's nothing special. It'll just carry on. Or you can choose to aim high and get the Ferrari. And
it'll be in the, and it'll be in the garage all the time. Yeah.
No, so when a recession comes, the people in the private sector will suffer badly, which I did see during the recession.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They lose their jobs now. But let me tell you, when I was in the private public sector and the economy was doing well, there was jobs in the private sector, in the public sector, and I did try and poach a few employees, poach them in and say, come in here, it's grand, nice pension, everything. Ah, sure, I wouldn't work for that kind of money. And then when the recession hit in,
they'd be glad of it, yeah.
Yeah, glad of it. Now you have it. Mm. So what you have is, if people, if you're ambitious in life and you want to earn huge money, oh, well over the six-digit figure.
Yeah, what's the cap of the public sector? 220,000, isn't it, is the cap, I think.
Yeah, listen, it's like everything else. There is clangerons. I do agree, in the public sector, you can hide in there very easily, and people don't, they get away. You know what I mean? Because
But you don't even have to hide too much. Even if you do get caught, you're not going to get fired.
Exactly, but you can't actually hide. Meaning, you could have a team of 12 people, and you can have 6 or 7 non-performers. You won't get that in the private sector.
No, because they'll be all out in the rear. Yeah,
you all gone. So you have a lot of that going on, and you know, I use an analogy as well. You look up in the hospital, right? And you know something else? We're the masters of our own inefficiencies in life. And you meet people say, well, what are you talking about? Let's use the example of that public bike shed, you know, or the bike shed in the dog.
234,000 bike shed, yeah.
I blame Irish people for that. And you may say to me, how do you make that out? I'll tell you what. I was in hospital recently and I was over an operation and I was grand to walk out. I wanted to walk down to the front door and go out. I was signed out by the consultant, everything. I was told you can't go down. There's a fella coming up in a wheelchair to bring you down.
That's right, yeah. You're not allowed to go anywhere without the fella with the wheelchair. I know that. I was in hospital last week. Go on.
No, I could have walked down. I was grand. But you know what? If I fall going down there, like...
Oh, you'll sue them.
So they have gone a third person to wheel me down. The consultant has to hire someone to...
But I do understand that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but hold on. You see, if you're out... Say you're out the road. I'll give you another one. You're out on the road, you fall off a curb, right? Or there's a bit of a step on the curb or something, and you trip, you claim. Now what happens is, if you're in charge, if you're in the public sector and you're in charge or you're in that local authority, a claim goes in, right? Then you have to go out and check all the curbs. And it's all inefficiencies. Also the inefficiencies of public...
Yeah, but bring me back to the bike shed, how you're blaming the people. I understand what you're saying about people being litigious, right? And I understand what you're saying about the hospital as well. But bring me back to the bike shed. How is the bike shed the people's fault? How is it not the fault of the Office of the Public Works, who spent the money?
Okay. Let me just walk you through this, right? And people don't understand this. And the government, they didn't explain it properly. Now, I'm not getting down to the exact how it all cost exactly that. But I'll tell you how the cost builds up, right? You have what's called public procurement.
That's what a tender in. Yeah, there's a tendering process, right? And all that kind of nonsense, yeah.
The inefficiency in that is huge. It's monstrous. You have to tender. It goes on e-tender. So if the public... So if I award a contract, say someone says to me, I can build that bike shed for 20 grand. That's great. Go ahead, right? You have to have insurance. You have to have this. You have to have that. You have to be registered with e-tender. You have to have all your T's crossed. The submissions are scored. There's a huge amount of labour goes into that, right? A smaller project, like the millions spent, that's only small in relation to millions. That's sent to hospital now. So now you have your score. Then what happens is, if I choose the one for 20,000, right? And I'd say, that's very reasonable. But the guy charging me 60. Now, he's given me all the bells and whistles, right? He has all the insurance. He's fully registered. He's this, he's that. But I can get the other guy for 20 grand. I'll use him. What happens is, if I get the guy for 20 grand, right? And I say, I'm saving 40 grand. Then you have all the public, i.e. private companies, suing the government because unfair. Explain how you chose that company.
Mm.
And give us a full written report.
Yeah, full transparency. No, I get it. And by the way, on top of what you're just saying, when those tendering processes go in, you have four or five staff who for a month have to sit down, allegedly, and go through all that process and mark them and score them. And that's four people's wages. And they're probably sitting around doing very little. But four people's wages for probably 30 days while that tendering process is going on. So I know I do understand how the cost can build up. Not to 234,000, by the way. But I do understand how it can build up.
And now, materials, you have to list the materials, right? So you cannot choose, you have to choose a certain material.
But I know somebody who works in the, I'm not going to say what he works at, because I don't want to give the game away, right? But he works providing certain stuff to the Office of Public Works, right? Now, he provides to the general public and construction and builders and everything else as well, right? But he provides to the office. And he told me himself, when he's providing to the government, to the Office of Public Works, he can throw on an extra
20%. Yeah, because the inefficiencies, Niall, this is what I'm saying. Let's look again as well. You know, housing. They have to, there's houses that are being gutted, right? And I'm blaming the public again. This is claim culture, right? You take a house that has a washing machine, whatever, and it's been leased by the, or it's been rented by the government, right, under whatever scheme. They send out a guy from the government to assess that house. They'll gut the house, even though there's nothing wrong with it.
Even there's a good kitchen in it, they'll put a brand new kitchen in it. I get you. Yeah, I know.
Correct.
No, I get all that. But getting back to the public and private sector, stay there for a second, Shane, just for a minute before we get to the break. I want to go to Susan as well. She's been waiting ages. Susan, hi.
Oh, hi, Niall. How are you? How's it going?
Good. I'm okay. Getting there.
I think, we were saying about the public. I think, yeah, the public have it easier, you know, especially the nurses, because I don't
the
think
nurses.
They're doing an awful lot.
The nurses
the
work
hospitals.
Hard. The nurses work very hard.
I don't believe so, Niall. I don't believe so. And I don't think it's good enough to say that they work hard, because I think when you go into A&E and you might be in there for 6, maybe 12 hours, you know.
But hold on.
And he was on a field for 2.5 hours and then in the hospital for another 4 hours lying on his back. They're saying he had a neck injury.
Yeah, but hold on. Hang on for a second, Susan. But hang on, Susan, mm-hmm. for a second. It's not the nurse's fault that you'd be waiting 16 hours in A&E.
Well, that's whose just, fault is it?
Well, it's the HSE's fault as a whole for just running the whole show so badly. It's not the nurse's
fault.
And then
why are they allowed to get away with it?
Well,
why are they allowed to get away with it?
Ask the Minister
for Health. In a first world country.
Ask the Minister for Health.
And all the money that we have in the country, I don't think it's on. I know people say, well, go private and take out Laya Healthcare or take out BHI, but I don't have anything. I don't even go to the doctors anymore because they think I'm too hyper and they want me sitting in a chair in a padded cell. You know, and take your pills there. Take your pills and be quiet. So I don't go. I don't go to the doctors. I don't go to a hospital. I don't go to any of them.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Susan, that the hospital system or the healthcare system is inefficient. Of course it's inefficient. Everyone knows it's inefficient. Yeah. But that's not down to just the nurses. The nurses are just a cog in the wheel. And to be honest with you, the nurses and the doctors are probably the only working cogs in that wheel. The other cogs are all broken. That's the problem.
Well, then why can't they do something about it? Why can't they fix it?
That's the million dollar question. The teachers work very hard.
The people in the social services, they work very hard, like that man said on the telephone there a minute ago. He was saying how brilliant they are with the pension, because I'm trying to go about John's pension, and they are, they're very friendly, very nice people, but I just think the people in the hospitals and the nurses aren't working very hard.
That's because the system
is
broken.
How I feel.
Yeah, but I know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's because the system is broken. It's not because the individuals are not working hard. The system is broken. If you've got a bad system, it's not going to work.
Can the government do anything about that?
Yeah, sorry, Shane, you want to say something to Susan?
What I'd say there is the hospital, right? Nurses work very hard. You have this thing called GDPR, right? Say you're a consultant or a doctor and you leave someone's document down, right? And someone gets to look at that or something. And there's a massive claim goes in against the hospital. Because, again, I come back to claim culture with the public, with the people. You have to be so careful what you do and what you don't do, right? What you say, what you don't say. You ask a nurse, how is my husband doing? They won't comment. They're afraid to say anything because if they say something contrary to what the consultant, they get slapped over. There's a claim goes in. You told me this. You told me that. So if I was a doctor, if I was in charge, if my job is operating or whatever, surgeon, I wouldn't get involved with paperwork. So you take on someone to do the paperwork. So where in the private sector, you multitask. You do more of multitasking. There's less of that tolerance. When we deal with the public, let's face it, and people know what I'm talking about. If you have an accident in a public building, in a public service building, you will claim, people are more likely to claim, oh, that shouldn't be like that. Look at the way, that shouldn't be that.
GDPR has us in.
Yeah, but look, I've worked in the private sector in nightclubs for years and what have you. If you have an accident in a nightclub or a bar or whatever it is in the private sector, you're likely to claim as well. It's just that you have less people in the private sector in buildings. Well, of course, apart from retail and hospitality. Stay there, Shane and Susan, for a second. I want to come to Owen after the break. We've kind of gone off on a bit of a tangent, which I knew would happen anyway, but that's okay. That's the whole idea of the show, isn't it? We are talking about the public and the private sector. Shane says the public sector, he's there 25 years. You know, he said, look, you know, it has its ups and it has its downs. Obviously, during the recession, he managed to keep his job. Unfortunately, the private sector, he said people lost their jobs, you know. And he said then once the boom came back, so to speak, in 2016, 2017, people then didn't want to work in the public sector because it pays less, generally speaking, depending on the type of job you're in, of course. Susan believes they're overpaid, especially in the health service. She doesn't believe nurses do a good job. Maybe you disagree with that. I'm sure you might. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me know if you're working in the private or the public sector. And which do you think is better? Which, or who do you think has it easier? All right, stay with me for a second, Shane, if you can. Let me go to Owen as well. Owen, hi, how are you?
Oh, good night, how are you, boy?
I'm all right, yeah, I'm getting there. So, Owen, who has it easier, public or private?
I think it depends on the job now.
Right, okay, you know, fair enough.
And there's a lot of it is down to perception as well now.
Mm.
Like, say, the traffic warden. You know what I mean? You get a ticket off the traffic warden, you're not thinking nicely of that public servant. But then you're in the hospital and the nurse and the doctor, the public servant, save your life and you think well of them.
Yeah, so it depends on the job they're doing, I suppose. Yeah, if it's a benefit to you.
Yeah. And that moment in time and the way that person treats you and how you're feeling, there's a lot of things, right? But as regards jobs, it's very much depends on the people. But I'd say the biggest problem in the public services, because there's low money going in, and there's a lot of good people going in there at an entry level, and after a while they jump into the private sector. So later on, and the way the civil service works about promotion and all the rest, that seniority and pull and being in with the right person, you end up with a middle management that's only very average, you know?
Mm.
There's no incentive, right? And everything that the civil service is done by a committee. And they say a horse, or they say a camel is a horse designed by a committee. Because it doesn't matter what you're going through with government stuff.
Yeah, so every decision that has to be made is a group. Yeah, every decision that's made is a group of people in a room for 2 days. Yeah.
They've made things impossible. Like, take simple thing.
Yeah.
National policy, housing.
Mm.
Governments come and go. The civil servants really run things, right?
Of course they do.
Yeah. For years, we was just build a council estate here and a council estate there. But the council was costing so much to it, it got outsourced to the private. And then people weren't happy with the private and they wanted specs now.
Well, the biggest problem with council housing back in the 1970s, and you take Dublin Corporation, for example, was it wasn't the cost of building the houses because they were cheap enough to build at the time. Sean Lamass, of course, was the first man to bring in social housing in this country. But it was the cost of maintaining them was the problem. That was where the big cost was. Yeah.
Yeah, and to that day, they're still trying to outsource that to housing associations and leases, and they want you to buy it and take it off their hands. I get all of that. But right now, at the moment, we need to build more houses. And instead of making it easier, the civil service have made it harder.
Yeah, because it's even more red tape, bureaucracy, lots of bureaucracy, yeah.
Yeah, and even the spec for the house. Okay, I'm not saying insulation is a bad
thing. I know, Shane was talking about that. Yeah, Shane, it's the way they refit a house. I mean, there's perfectly adequate housing out there, but they won't use it. It's closed for, say, you know, the house will be bought by the Department of Social Protection. It's perfectly adequate. Might need a few little fixer-uppers, maybe a bit of a paint. But they leave it closed probably for 18 months while they're waiting for some team to go in and strip the whole house down and rebuild it again. It's pointless.
That's a different level of incompetence. But even about building new ones, they've made it so hard you have to put in electric car chargers and solar panels and all the rest of this instead of just cracking on with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And saying, we built perfectly good houses in the 50s and the 70s. We put in that same three-bedroom design, we push out the walls a foot, and we put in 6 inches of insulation.
All right, so what you're telling me, in the public sector, there's too much, generally, in all departments, bureaucracy, where you don't get that in the private sector, that type of bureaucracy.
Too much committees. Committee decisions.
Okay, but which would you prefer to work in?
Oh, I'm working far too hard in the private sector. I'd love to get into the public sector.
Would you? I'd love it. Yeah, well, because it's a job for life, is that why? Yeah. See, I mean, Shane, that is the big takeout, isn't it, from the public sector? It's the pension, the job for life, the healthcare, all that kind of stuff.
It is, Niall. But you see, what that gentleman is talking about there, right? And when you start drilling, once you crack and once you start drilling, you will see when you trace it back, it comes down to the public fear of repercussion. So you look at a house, right? There's no one in it, right? You go, look, that should be equipped out in the morning, get a group of lads in and have a family in there in a week or two or a month or two or whatever. Grant, that's what I do. That's what you do. That's it. When you're in the public sector, right, you have to involve other departments. Right?
Now,
don't get me wrong, right? There is inefficiencies, absolutely. But when you start, so now you have to go, I want to replumb it. You'll have to go through procurement for that.
I need new carpets. Who has the tender for the carpets?
Listen, let me tell you, if you look at it, why is procurement there? It's to safeguard the expenditure of money. It is to do away with past claims against the state. WHO certain contracts are awarded certain contracts to companies above.
Oh yeah, and it's to do away with backhanders as well. You know,
exactly. So now they're trying to do away with that. They've created another monster. Now they've created the inefficient monster, right? So what happens is everyone is afraid. Remember, you just made a comment. You don't get rewarded for taking chances in a government job or any kind of a public sector job. You're told this is the way it's done. And we have to follow those rules.
Mm.
Now, that can become very, very frustrating for a driven person who's used to the private sector, who would say, listen, let's just jump in there. I know a lad. He'll do it. Boom, boom, boom. I'll have it all planned out. I'll have it done in 2 months. It doesn't work like that.
Okay, stay there a second. I've just got to Angela. Hang on. Angela, hi. How are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you, Angela. Missed you
all. Yeah, it's good to hear you.
Yeah.
We missed you more.
Yeah, hospital food is not as bad as I thought it was.
It depends on which hospital you go to, so you've gone to a good one, I hear. But, definitely the public sector, do you know what I mean? Because, geez, you nearly have to murder someone before you get sacked. You know,
yes, you do have to do something incredibly wrong before you get sacked.
Incredibly, like... You know,
criminal, in other words, criminal activity. Yeah.
Totally criminal.
And even then, by the way, you might get away with it. Even then, you might just get moved.
You might just, they'll probably just, you know, turn around and say you have to move from here to there and you'll be grand. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, and like, I mean, what was that? What came out yesterday? Was it yesterday, today, 170 grand on a printer?
Yeah,
that was
an x-ray machine for the National Gallery. Yeah.
For National Gallery. That was never even used.
No.
You know.
And then, but they never even thought about where they were going to put it. So I said it today, by the way, the person who ordered that should be fired. We need to start making examples of people for, you know, incompetence.
No, yeah, can I come in like there just for a second?
Yeah, go on, Shane. Yeah.
Sorry. We don't know. In fairness, it sounds terrible. Absolutely fully agree. Right. But in fairness, we don't know the story, the real story behind that. I heard on the news there it requires an x-ray. There's lead lining or something. So there's radiation off it.
Yeah.
Now, you don't know the issues. The
but it's like, Shane, do you remember the printer they ordered going back about 6 years ago?
Shane,
it wouldn't even fit in the room.
Yeah,
Shane,
I know. But
that's
but,
what happened with this as well. It couldn't fit.
That was one item that didn't fit. Absolutely agree. The homework wasn't done prior to buying it. However, there is, in the public sector, if there's a smell of radiation off it, or it's an x-ray. Oh, you have to negotiate that through unions. You have to do this. In a public sector, right? Or, sorry, a private sector, staff will be told, this is coming in. There's no unions involved. In it comes, and off we go, right?
And Shane, I get you. I get what you're saying there, right? Again, the bureaucracy involved in that. But that should have been thought about before it was ordered.
Correct.
They know that.
That's your job. Whoever ordered that, that's their job. And the way I look at it is, if you ordered that, where is the bloody receipt to return it? Where are these? Don't you get a guarantee? If you don't...
It's 2017, in fairness.
If you don't buy... But it hasn't been used.
No, it's in the box.
It's never been used.
Yeah.
So the way I look at it is, if you bought that, you brought it in, it doesn't fit, send it back. Who didn't send it back?
Or sell it. Who bought sell it? It or something.
And who sell it? You know, I mean, like, what is this? 8, 9 years ago and the thing is sitting there. This is what I'm talking about. Of course you'd want a job in the public sector because no matter how much you F up, you ain't getting back.
Now, to be fair, well,
There's loads of jobs in the public sector. Off they go. They won't take it. They won't work for the money in it. There's no promotions. There's no this. You nearly have to be there 20
here.
Years to get it. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. When I look at it, and I'll tell you, it's absolutely ridiculous what the guards get paid. It's ridiculous what the nurses get paid. It's ridiculous how much holiday time the fuck teachers get. It's crazy. But why wouldn't you want a job there? Because they'll get your pension, you'll get your health care, you'll get all of that. It's a job for life.
Yeah, but the downside is, hang on for a second, Shane. The downside, Angela, is if you're working in the private sector, say you're a private tutor, for example, or a professor in a college, you know, you have much better opportunities to make a lot more money. Whereas if you're the public sector, you can only go by the rate card that job pays. And it's all available online. And there's a maximum as well. There's a cap put on the salaries that can be paid. So there is no opportunity for you to earn more money.
Oh, there is.
But if you're a nurse or a doctor, you can do overtime, I suppose, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. But if you're a teacher, you can take a leave of absence, right? So you can take...
Career break, yeah.
You can take a career break...
I don't agree with career breaks. Can I just point out, by the way? I think it's a stupid idea.
I don't agree with career breaks, especially when it's teachers. And what they can do is take a 7-year career break, which has happened. 7-year career break.
There was one in the paper today that was 12 years.
Yeah, well, I know someone that took 7 years, went and worked in a private school, earned so much money in the private school. And when they were finished, went back into their job, and whoever took over their job was kicked out.
Well, that's unfortunately the way it is, and your job has to be kept open. That's why I completely disagree with career breaks.
Yeah.
They should be abolished
ridiculous.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shane, that's another plus for working in the public sector. If you want to, you know, dip your toe into the private sector, you can just take a career break, and you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Your job should not be kept open for you if you're willing to piss off for 3 or 4 years.
If you're going to leave, you're going to leave, and that's it. You can't feck off to Australia for 7 years
and come back.
And then come back and whoever, and not even in Australia, because this was from the west to the east.
There was a situation going back a good few years ago in RTE. Where they were trying to cut back, or to have attempted to cut back on many occasions to save money, but they were trying to cut back, and what happened? What time is it? Okay, sorry, I was just looking to make sure you didn't have a break to go to yet. They were trying to cut back, so they offered the staff an opportunity to take 2 years off, and I think it was on 50% pay. So they paid them just for to take 2 years off there on a holiday, and I know somebody who did and went off to Australia or went off to wherever it was they went to New Zealand. And they got 50% of their pay, and they got money from the social protection as well. So in other words, it was a 2-year holiday. Imagine a private sector company doing that. It wouldn't happen. It would just never happen. Anyway, listen, hang on for a second. Shane and Angela and John and Galway, I want to come to you in a second too. I need to go to a break. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. All right, stay there for a second, Angela and Shane. Just let me go to John and Galway. John, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you, Ethan?
Good. John.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Brilliant to hear you back.
Thanks very much indeed. I appreciate that. John, I know you're not working at the moment, but did you work in the... No, you worked in the private sector in a hotel, from what I remember, didn't you?
I worked... Yeah.
In a school.
Private
as well.
Sector, I worked for an engineering company, a Dublin, big company in Dublin. And for about 10 or 12 years or more, I worked as a site manager on... hospitals, all public service, schools, hospitals. Basically, we went on as contractors, came on site. I was 6 years in one hospital in the west of Ireland. I'm not going to name it. And I was dealing directly with the management in the hospital. So basically, if they needed work done in the hospital and they needed a contractor to do it, the maintenance or whatever.
That was your job. Yeah.
And after 6 years, I just got out of it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the nurses are angels. I've never seen a nurse not working.
No, neither
have
I.
They work like dogs. and they're angels. Now, if people think the nurses aren't working, they want to see the staff. Not all the staff. Don't get me wrong. There's brilliant staff all through it. But when they're bad, they're red rotten. I sat down at a coffee table one morning with two. I was with the contractor in the hospital. Where I was talking to two lads, and they'd been called in during the night. Now they were their HSE workers, and they came in and they went get overtime, get call out pay, and get overtime. They went in and they went at equipment, and they did 10 grand's worth of damage. And I heard about it in the morning. They were having the tea break, and I went down and sat down with them. And I said, I heard you were in bother last night. I says, your ass is going to be hanging on the clothesline. Oh, he says, we're civil servants. We're the untouchables. We can't be touched. Mm. Not a bother. Don't worry. That was the attitude from them lads. And those other lads that were in there that were so, they broke their backs working. And I had another lad tell me another day that he was 10 years, he had 30 years to go, and he was going to try and do less every day for the next 30 years. And then you had other lads that were...
Okay, I get the picture. So the point you're making is you wouldn't get away with that in the private sector because you'd be found out very quickly and you'd be sacked.
You'd be sacked. The senior management, I went to a manager one day and I said, listen, the ward that I'm doing the work in, it's going to be shut down in 6 weeks' time for total renovation. The total renovation, I knew it was being shut down. But he wanted something fixed in it. I said, it's going to cost 5 grand. I says, I can go and talk to the sister and the nurses. And it's not urgent. It's only a fan for a shower. And he says, listen, don't be telling me that. He says, don't talk to anyone. It's not your money. So we put in a 5,000 euro fan on a roof for 6 weeks. And on the seventh week, it was on a pallet down the car park. So that was 5 grand for 6 weeks. One shower, seamless.
Yeah, that's the type of wastage that happens in the public sector all the time. Yeah. No, that doesn't take away from what Shane is talking about earlier on, which is a slightly different system. We're kind of moving into a different territory here where there's a huge amount of wastage. And by the way, we're seeing Donald Trump at the moment with Doge looking into government wastage. And that's the type of wastage he's talking about. That type of thing shouldn't happen.
But there doesn't seem to be any accountability.
No, there isn't.
Public service.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, because even if it is somebody's fault, nothing happens to them.
Yeah, nothing happens. That's the thing. It's, all right, people make mistakes. I understand that. But there's things people do. Like, if you guys, you're the manager in the hospital and you talk to a contractor and he's coming in painting. This is just an example now. And you say, I'm going to give you a contract to paint 10 wards. I want 10 of your painters in to paint the 10 wards. Where I want two of them out in my house, painting my house. This is what's going on. Or I want a cleaning company. I want two of your cleaners out cleaning my house and build the hospital for this. Like, the hospital fella is suspended.
No, I get what you're saying. No, I know the dirty tricks that go on as well. But just to get back to Shane in relation to what he's saying. Shane, in relation to wastage, and, you know, this happens in all sectors because I'm aware of a guy who buys and sells stuff online. And he got something like, I think, 70 computer monitors, which were practically brand new from one of the departments, a public sector department, because they were getting new monitors. He said they didn't need them. They were perfectly fine. Now, that wouldn't happen in the private sector. You know, I can tell you in Classic Hits here, the monitors that are outside of the desks, they've been there 9 years probably. If they blow up, they get replaced. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're classic.
you're going to get that.
There should be a department that looks after wastage. I mean, what John spoke about there about, you know, the fan, 5 grand for the ceiling that gets dumped onto a pallet 5 weeks after it's put in just because that's what they wanted. That's wastage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hang on, John. Just let Shane answer that. Sorry.
So it happens rampant in the public sector. And it is, I have to admit, a big inefficiency. However, if you look into it, if you drill in again, so, you know, if you look into it in depth and you say to yourself, right, who are that shower he's talking about? What's the reason for it? Someone came along, we can't put that shower in. There's
probably 4,000 showers in the whole hospital. You can't support that shower. Who bought that? They're going back to who bought it. Again, if you look at the public sector, they get paid, and this is human nature, but let's face it, it's human nature. They get paid by the state, right? There's no, if you're a private person coming in to do a job in the public, they get paid set fee. Someone cuts a PO for that company to come in there to do a specific job. There's thousands pass hand. You know, there's a PO cut for this, and it could be $5,000. It pays them to get in and out of there as quick as possible because time is money. In the public sector, time is not money, right?
But it should be.
It should be, but it's not. You see, Niall, you know, if you're accountable to your boss and he's monitoring you every week and he's saying to you, like, how many things did you do, or he's micromanaging you, et cetera, et cetera, your performance is related directly to your staff.
Yeah, the pressure that's being put on you, yeah.
Right. So if you look at those guys he's talking to in the canteen or whatever, right, they've become stagnated, right? As they advert, after a while you don't notice, right? This is what happens when you become institutionalized, right? And what happens to them? And it doesn't make them worse or better than anyone else. I know a lot of people who come out of the private sector who come into the public sector in their latter years because they're fed up doing
I know people who went from the private into the public and left again because they were bored.
Yeah, they were bored. And then some have gone to it and they said, this is great. You know.
Oh, yeah, it's the life of Riley. Sorry, Angela, if you had a choice tomorrow, which would you go to? Taking into consideration the pros and cons of both, which would you go to?
Public.
Public. Even though even though you have a potential to earn more money privately.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, public is a guarantee, private isn't.
Hmm.
You know, private, as we said, you can turn around, make one mistake and you're out the door. You can turn around in the public sector, make 1,000 of them, and you won't even get near the door.
Yeah, they're just giving them a training course or something like that just to help you.
That's it. Yeah. You know, and I know it's a terrible thing to say, but listen, we all know it. You look at anyone that works it, you know, like the guys on the side of the road, you know what I mean? Cleaning the streets, like, when you have 5 of them there to empty a bin. I mean, come on, like.
I did actually see the classic one day, which was about 7 fellas looking into one hole, and there was a fella in the hole digging. And I was going to take a picture, and I said, nah, that would be unfair. But it was the classic. Well, hang on for a second. Stay there, John, Shane, and Angela. Joe, I've got 4 minutes here. Go ahead.
Hi, Niall. How are you doing? Yeah. In relation to wastage of money, there's an awful lot of wastage of money in this country, Niall. And it's proven that over the last couple of years and the last couple of months. Like, you look at the bike shed scandal, the security hut, everything, even dating back to 2004. Or was it 2004 when remember these electric
voting machines.
And you also had the scandal there during COVID when they brought in these extra load of vaccines. Remember? That wasn't even used in all the money.
They bought ventilators. Seemingly, I up in Tala Hospital in the warehouse, there's hundreds of ventilators that were never used.
That's right. Mm. And they also brought in other things there, which, again, were all thrown out. Like, this government and all governments previously over the last number of years, they don't have to cop on. I can tell you, if I was in a job like that and I started wasting money like that, I'd be fired. And I know any of your callers on your show tonight would be fired. Like, this is plain bollockology.
Mm.
That's what it is.
Great
plain
word.
Bollockology.
What a great word. Yeah, go on.
It is. It's bollockology at the highest degree. And nobody, again, is questioning it. Like, fair play to yourself, Niall. You and Grip Media and one or two others are the only ones that are questioning this. But you won't have the likes of RTE coming out and questioning this.
Well, to be fair, RTE did highlight today, you know, the fact that the Children's Hospital wasn't going to happen until 2026. And they did highlight the fact that Pádraig Tobin was calling for resignations over it. So,
yeah,
but they just do it differently, I suppose. They don't take a strong view on it.
Yeah, but like, you know, and I know that they're only just trying to hold on to their own jobs because they know that the government have a gun to their heads. But the problem in this country, again, Niall, and I've said it before and I've said it again, when you have the same clowns being voted in by the same clowns, you'll get shit. Mm. And that's what's happening. And that's the sad thing about it. And do I think it's going to change anytime soon? I don't think so. Because the Irish people, the majority, I'm not saying all the Irish people, but the majority of Irish people in this country don't have the brains to see what's going on.
Now, I did start talking tonight about the public and private sector and kind of the battle between the two and who has it worse.
Yeah.
And we've kind of ventured mainly in the conversation into the wastage of money in the public sector.
Yeah.
That's not everybody's fault who works in the public sector.
Oh, yeah, no, I know
God,
that.
No.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to establish that, you know what I mean? But there are individuals within the public sector who don't seem to care about public money.
Yeah.
But Niall, the way I look at it in this is, whether you're in the private or you're in the public sector, if someone can take the piss out of their job, they'll take the piss out of their job.
Mm.
Most people will. You know, if you can cut a corner here, if you can get a bit of a perk there, everyone's going to do it. You know, they will. It's just in the public sector, it's our money.
On that note, unfortunately, I have to wrap up. Shane, thank you for staying as long as you did with me tonight. I appreciate it, representing the public sector there. Okay. And John, thank you. Angela, Joe, thank you very much indeed. A message come in here says, he's been very unfair about career breaks. In the primary teaching sector, they provide opportunities for newly qualified teachers to get a temporary job. But they shouldn't be offering them temporary jobs. There's plenty of room in there for full-time jobs for teachers. They just won't give them to them. So they should be offering them full-time jobs, not temporary jobs. Anyway, beside the point. Which is then counted towards panel rights, which then guarantees a permanent job. What's wrong with teachers taking unpaid leave to either rear their children or for personal development? Because nobody else is allowed to do it. You know what I mean? It's a bit of an unfair perk, isn't it? If you want to look at it from that point of view. You know, where you're leaving your job and the company, essentially the company, the state, is obliged to leave your position open for you. That nobody else can have that permanent position while you're gone for 3, 5, 7, and in one case I read the other day, 12 years. Nobody else can do that, only the public sector. It's wrong. And there's been great arguments about it over the debates over the last year, and even the minister themselves said that they need to look at this whole idea of career breaks. It's not available in every country in the world, can I point out, by the way, career breaks. She goes on and says, eventually it'll benefit the pupils. It's a win-win. It couldn't be done with some jobs, but it should be allowed, even promoted in many workplaces. We spend so much of our lives at work. Some of us work to live instead of living to work. Well, I agree with that sentiment. Look at the bigger picture. I'm looking at the bigger picture, and if everybody was allowed to do it, it would be an absolute and utter mess. If the private sector, public sector, and everybody had a legal right to take a career break after working in a place for a year permanently, it would be an absolute disaster. Because then you'd have people moving from job to job constantly all the time, trying different things out. It just would not work. So you're wrong. You're wrong in saying that. That's your view of it. You're entitled to it. But I do believe the time will come very soon where career breaks will be a thing of the past. Because I know they're discussing it quite a lot at the moment. I think they discussed it. The Shannon only recently. Anyway, thank you for that.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.